Good morning, everybody. My name is Bob Listenby. I'm the administrator of the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. In the Department of Justice's Office of Justice Programs, I'd like to thank the American Public Health Association for inviting me to be here today. We recently commemorated October as Youth Justice Awareness Month. The President issued a proclamation, and in his proclamation, he called on each of us to dedicate ourselves to preventing youth from entering the juvenile justice system, and he encouraged communities across the country to participate in activities that help youth fulfill their greatest potential. The work at the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention continues year-round to make the President's vision our national reality. Juvenile justice, as Dr. Spivak indicated, is presently undergoing rapid transformation. The reforms being put into place will have a long-lasting impact on public and social life and will redefine justice both at the adolescent and adult levels for years to come. I'm looking forward to having conversations with you today about the kinds of issues that you're seeing out across this nation as regards juvenile justice and try and put them in some context in terms of the policies that we're advancing. For those who are familiar with the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, our office supports state and local efforts to address the needs of youth who come into contact with the juvenile justice system and those who are at risk of becoming involved with the system. We also support efforts to protect children who are victims of violence, crime, and abuse. We are the only agency within the Department of Justice whose work focuses solely on children and youth, and we are the only agency within the federal government with a focus on children and youth at risk or already involved with the juvenile and criminal justice systems. The Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention envisions a nation where our children are healthy, educated, and free from violence. If they come into contact with the juvenile justice system, that contact should be rare, fair, and beneficial. And I look forward to exploring with you what that means in context. Building on that vision, I've identified three priorities, which are to support juvenile justice reform efforts across the nation, reducing the number of children who are in out-of-home placement, recognizing that since 2002, that number has been cut in half from 109,000 down to 54,000 as we look at a snapshot of what's going on in any given day. We also seek to ensure compliance with the four core protections found in the Juvenile Justice Delinquency Prevention Act, which is our authorizing legislation. During my tenure as administrator, our office has supported state and local reforms to narrow the front door points to the juvenile justice system and reduce out-of-home placement. Most young people who are in out-of-home placement, and I mean approximately 60% or so, are there for minor, nonviolent offenses. For these youth, detention and confinement are not an appropriate response. A growing body of research suggests that for minor offenses, confinement is not a healthy option. It can exacerbate existing mental health and substance abuse problems, and it often interrupts a young person's education. Furthermore, the Northwestern Juvenile Project, which we funded, suggests that as many as 70% of youth in detention have undiagnosed or untreated mental health or substance abuse problems. A substantial portion of the youth in confinement have experienced one or more traumatic events in their lives. Confinement alone, especially longer sentences, serves little deterrent purpose for most youth who commit serious offenses. For most youth, diversion out of the courts, out of residential placement, and into community-based, developmentally appropriate, and especially trauma-informed services and treatment offers the best option, best chance for positive outcomes. Confinement should be reserved for those violent, seriously offending, and chronically offending youth who pose a threat to public safety and are most in need of intensive treatment and services. At the Department of Justice, we firmly believe that a public health approach, one that fights not just the symptoms, but the root causes of violence, is the most effective and sustainable way to prevent and reduce crime in our nation. Our work at the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention is guided by two reports that we commission from the National Research Council of the National Academies of Science, Reforming Juvenile Justice, a Developmental Approach, and I'll ask you to note that name of the book. And Implementing Juvenile Justice Reform, the Federal Role. The first report serves as our roadmap to justice reform based upon a developmental approach, and the second lays out an agenda for translating the action items in the first report into a reality. In 2009, our office released the first findings of the National Survey of Children's Exposure to Violence. The survey found that children experience levels of violence that we find truly shocking. Research showed that children's exposure to violence, whether as victims or witnesses, is often associated with long-term physical, psychological, and emotional harm. Children exposed to violence are also at a greater risk of engaging in criminal behavior later in life and becoming part of a cycle of violence. Within a year, in 2010, then-Attorney General Eric Holder announced the launch of the Defending Childhood Initiative to prevent childhood exposure to violence. This initiative, which coordinates the responses to children's exposure to violence of the department's components, the Office for Victims of Crime, U.S. Attorneys, the FBI, Office of Violence Against Women, and COPS, supports a growing number of activities. The 8 Defending Childhood demonstration sites are implementing their responses to violence in their communities based upon strategic plans they've developed. For instance, based upon assessments of local problems, Multnomah County in Oregon has made domestic violence the primary focus of its violence prevention efforts. The county also identified teen dating violence, bullying, and child maltreatment as other areas of interest. The county is pursuing a strategy of capacity building for public agencies, training for school personnel, system realignment, public education, community-based services for children and families. Another example is the Portland, Maine Defending Childhood site, which offers evidence-based therapy to children and families, training on children's exposure to violence for community groups and agencies, and resources targeted to local populations, including immigrant communities. Based on a Portland model, Maine's Thrive Initiative is bringing a trauma-informed approach to child care systems across the state. At the Department of Justice, our ultimate goal is to support the development of trauma-informed networks in every state for every system that touches the lives of children. Our office is supporting 3 states, California, Massachusetts, and Michigan, as they take the first important steps towards formulating policies and implementing statewide trauma-informed reforms that will have far-reaching implications in years to come. These reforms will create a safety net that identifies, assesses, and treats children who've been exposed to violence and will guide the development of statewide trauma-informed systems of care for these children and culturally competent systems of care for every child. As co-chair of the Attorney General's Task Force on Children Exposed to Violence, I heard dozens of stories of children across this country who were victims of violence and the resulting trauma that had scarred and changed the direction of their lives. Too often, these children find their way into justice systems. The task force recognized that any attempt to address children's exposure to violence must encompass every system that can touch the life of a child, education, public and mental health, child welfare, and juvenile justice. Every professional, and I repeat, every professional who cares for children must receive training to identify those who've been exposed to violence, and child care agencies must have the capability to assess and treat victims of violence and trauma. Our response cannot be one size fits all. We must take into account the young person's family and community origin. Child care professionals and staff must receive training in cultural competency for the populations they will serve. This is not a process where the child must meet us halfway to receive the care he or she needs. Towards this end, the Department of Justice supported the Attorney General's Task Force on American Indian and Alaska Native Children Exposed to Violence to identify how violence against children manifests itself in tribal communities, its impact on tribal youth and families, and how best to address the problem in the context of tribal communities and their cultures. The task force recommendations are guiding the department's responses. Our office continues our efforts to reduce violence and trauma among youth. Last week in Baltimore, I announced that the city has received National Forum on Youth Violence Prevention funding to implement its strategic plan to reduce youth violence. My colleague, Theron Pride, Chief of Staff of the Assistant Attorney General, who's up here on the podium, we'll talk about the forum and recent developments with that initiative in a few minutes. Our office is providing funding so that the Safe Street Baltimore program can integrate the local faith community into youth violence prevention and reduction activities. Later the same day, at the White House convening on girls of color in the juvenile justice system, I announced that we were releasing our policy guidance on girls and the justice system. This new guidance underscores our commitment to ensure that at-risk and system-involved girls receive the developmentally appropriate and trauma-informed care that they often need. This is an exciting time. We have it within our power to reach children and youth to provide them the trauma-informed care they need before they enter the justice system. This will dramatically cut the number of youth who enter the system. Here in Chicago, our office is supporting evaluations by the University of Chicago Lab of One Summer Jobs Plus and Becoming a Man Match Math Tutoring, which are two delinquency prevention programs. Our Summer Jobs Plus provides job mentoring services and behavioral training to help prepare participating youth for successful employment. Becoming a Man Match Tutoring provides in-school dropout and violence prevention programming for at-risk male high school students. Becoming a Man also provides life skills and core competency training, while Match Math Tutoring provides high-intensity math tutoring services. Most importantly, initial evaluation findings of both programs are encouraging. Among participating youth, reading and math scores are up, graduations are up, arrests for violence are down. Far too long, violence and trauma have fueled children and youth into the front end of the justice system and beyond. This has to stop. We must understand that violence and trauma derail normal development in children and tailor our responses to heal that which has been harmed. This change will come about only with determined and dedicated effort. Our children deserve no less. Thank you very much.